I think we should start with the pointless prequel stroke sequel of the day. I am very much, it winds me up. We've spoke before about this when you've been on Good Morning Yorkshire. It so winds me up, these pointless prequels, sequels. I just don't care. Die Hard 6 is on the way. Die Hard, whatever. It's apparently going to be a prequel. Die Hard Year 1. Is this the story of, is this the story of John McClane, or is it the story of the vest?
It could be either one, but yeah, I mean, it's great. It's we're getting a prequel, an origin story, if you will, for John McClane. Which, I mean, going by Die Hard just means that it'll be a story about a happy cop in a nice marriage.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exactly scream like, oh, there's a lot of drama there. So, I don't know. Apparently, someone pointed out actually on Twitter today that there has been a Die Hard prequel comic that was released by Boom Studios a couple of years back. So it has been done before, but now we're doing it in a movie phrase. And I'll be honest, my theory behind why this has been announced is that this is a way for 20th Century Fox to do a Die Hard movie without having to work with Bruce Willis.
Interesting, because obviously it's set in the 1970s, so it can't be Bruce Willis as he is now.
Exactly, it can't be Bruce Willis. You're going to be able to cast a younger actor to play John McClane, and there have been many, many, many stories that have come out about Bruce Willis over the last few years about how he's been very, very difficult to work with. They were saying that on The Expendables 2, he would only show up that if he was going to be in front of the camera, and if he wasn't, then he wasn't going to bother being there. He would just get a stand-in to do the rest of it. And with the Die Hard movies, he would often... Kevin Smith, actually, he featured in Die Hard 4, said that Bruce Willis works on Bruce Willis time. So if he has a call time at 9 o'clock, he'll show up whenever he wants. He can show up at 1 p.m. And it'll be fine because he's Bruce Willis and it's Die Hard. And Bruce Willis's famous quote from that was, if 20th Century Fox ever questioned him on a decision he was making or do anything naughty, he would just say, who was your second choice to play John McClane in this movie? So now they actually have the ability to make a Die Hard movie without Bruce Willis and not have to deal with any of his craziness.
I want to know what a Bruce Willis watch or clock would look like and how it would function. would it be like an Apple Watch? I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. It just has an app that goes, when do I want to show up? Whenever I feel like it.
Just works whenever it wants. Very interesting situation with that. And, oh, I just don't care about this. You know what? I enjoyed Die Hard. I enjoyed the two that came after it. The fourth one was pointless. The fifth one was even more pointless. This will be even more pointless. Or something along those lines.
As in Die Harder.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had quite a few of these franchise reboots. In fact, we've had two of them this year in the form of Terminator and Fantastic Four. And, you know, we talked about Fantastic Four, I believe, on one of the shows that we've done and how dreadfully bad that it performed. And we definitely talked about Terminator Genesis and how very poorly that film was received and actually how poorly it did at the box office as well. And it looks like both of those films have the attempt at rebooting their franchise has fallen by the wayside. I actually have just posted an article on FlickeringMyth.com about like 10 failed franchises that have tried to be rebooted and have just failed after one attempt. And I just feel like that this Die Hard Year One will just be another one on that list.
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to work out this, if you ask me. It's going to be a bit of a disaster, in my opinion. It's really going to be horrendous.
It's a lot to ask people to go see a Die Hard movie without Bruce Willis.
Yeah, definitely, because he's so synonymous with the franchise. What is the point of going seeing it? Yeah, it's a waste of time,
exactly.
Isn't it? Absolute waste of time. You mentioned then another franchise, in a sense, that has kind of flopped and has been part of a massive argument recently because Fox and Marvel still fighting over the rights to the Fantastic Four, which absolutely died on its backside with this recent film, which I thought was a huge sort of 60 minutes of... okay, and then 30 minutes of total disaster. But Fox have actually come out tonight and said that the rights to the Fantastic Four are staying with them.
So this has stemmed from a news story that Den of Geek posted up today. So yesterday it was announced that 20th Century Fox and Marvel Studios had come together with a deal. It was actually Marvel television side of the business, that they are going to be able to produce a television show based around two X-Men characters. So that was huge news. And apparently a source told Den of Geek today that part of that deal is that Marvel get back Fantastic Four, and they're going to do a Fantastic Four movie, a Fantastic Four reboot for 2020. Now, as you said, Fox have come out and said that that's absolutely categorically not the case whatsoever. So it's a really interesting story as to where this is. I mean, Fox have got the rights to Fantastic Four until, I believe, it's 2024 anyway, or 2025. Because I think every time you make a movie, you get another 10 or 8 years added to your license agreement. So they have another 10 years or so to create another Fantastic Four movie to kind of refresh that cycle. So it'd be really interesting to see how the story develops and see if they are going to head back to the Marvel family and be part of the that Avengers universe.
Yeah, it would be very interesting now, because I think the Avengers after Infinity War, obviously, you know, we're still looking ahead to like sort of 3-4 years down the line here. It's going to change. The Avengers dynamic's going to change. And they've already said this, that, you know, we could be looking at getting some new characters in from the movies that still aren't announced or the ones that are announced at the moment. So I can't wait to see what they're actually going to do with the new Avengers.
That's right. And they've announced 3 mystery movies.
Yeah.
Set for release after Avengers Infinity War. And now that they've also announced Ant-Man and the Wasp as a sequel. So we've got these 3 mystery movies that we don't know whether they're going to be sequels. It could be like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it could be a Doctor Strange 2, or it could be new characters being brought in. Like we were saying, perhaps it could be the Fantastic Four if they have come to an agreement with 20th Century Fox. And to be honest, Fox have got absolutely nothing to lose out of this. They could do the same kind of deal that Sony have got with Marvel, in that they are allowing their character to be used within the MCU, but still retain the rights to that character and make the movies that they want to make with Spider-Man. So, and with the dreadful backlash that they've received over the Josh Trank movie, the Josh Trank Fantastic Four that came out this year, they really would be in their right minds to actually look at Marvel and say, hey, guys, let's work something out together. Because as you said, after Avengers Infinity War, where are you going to go from there? We've been building Thanos now since the first Avengers movie. You need a really big bad guy to build up for the post-Infinity War era of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And what better character than someone like Galactus, who you can only get if you've got the rights to the Fantastic Four?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I mean, Galactus would be amazing, wouldn't he? He'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be absolutely fantastic to be able to do that. And to be able to bring in characters like Doctor Doom and the Silver Surfer into the MCU, or the Skrull, you could do the Skrull Invasion. There'd be absolutely loads of great stuff you could do. If you had to get the Fantastic Four in.
Yeah, it would be brilliant. That would be absolutely fantastic. Before we move on to one amazing piece of movie news that might happen, Warner Brothers have announced King Kong versus Godzilla for 2020. That's going to be exciting.
Oh, this is great, great news. I'm a massive, giant monster movie fan, and one of my all-time favorite monster movies is King Kong versus Godzilla from 1962. I absolutely adore that movie. It's so deliciously 60s and bonkers and just beautifully wacky. It's such a tremendous, fun movie. And I loved Gareth Edwards' 2014 Godzilla reboot. I thought it was really, really strong. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do with the sequel. There had been rumors that they were going to do this King Kong crossover, and now it's officially announced that we're going to get, I believe here, it's Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, amazing!
What an epic movie that will be. I mean, we're 5 years away from it, but already I'm super excited.
Yeah, the big monster smackdown that we've all been waiting for. This is going to be brilliant. I can't wait to see more news about this. Something that's put on. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, there's also the potential. There was a rumor circulating around the same time, because this had been rumored for about a month or so. There was a rumor that was circulating around the same time. They were also going to try and bring the Pacific Rim universe into that Godzilla world as well.
Oh, wow.
So Pacific Rim 2 is on quote-unquote indefinite hold at the moment. But there was always that chance that they could bring those three together. And so it would be Godzilla versus King Kong versus Pacific Rim.
Amazing. That would be awesome. I wasn't like the hugest fan of Pacific Rim, but I think putting those worlds together could be very, very interesting indeed. Final piece of movie news right now. It's a kind of like a bit of a sort of speculation piece, really. Something I saw on Latino Review, which is all about Star Wars, because we're getting ever closer right now to The Force Awakens. And apparently on Monday, we're going to get the pre-order tickets, but we're also potentially going to be getting a new trailer around Monday Night Football on ESPN for Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Cannot wait. I think this is very much a heavy rumor at the moment, but it feels like it's one of those rumors that is very much alive, and it feels like there's a lot of speculation going around that we are going to get a new trailer on Monday. Nothing's officially confirmed on it yet, but yeah, I mean, we are heading towards our December release date. It would make sense that we're going to get a new trailer very, very soon. What I can say, although I need to be very careful about what I say, I went to a Disney preview slate for their 2016 release schedule, and I saw footage there. I can't say what footage I did see for which films that they showed, but what I do think I am allowed to say is that they showed nothing for Star Wars. So if they do have a new trailer, they're very much keeping it under wraps, and they're not even showing it to press. Like, if I had seen it, I was under embargo until mid-November anyway, but there was no new trailer shown.
That's very interesting, though. If they're keeping this one under wraps, although really, really just kind of like, going to Beyonce it almost. They're just going to drop us on it in style.
It's amazing how well they've kept this so close to their chest. As I said, like, we were in a locked press room and we weren't shown anything. Like, it's amazing how much they're keeping so close to their chest that we are 2 months away. I think actually almost less than 2 months away now. It'd be 2 months tomorrow that we're going to get the seventh Star Wars movie, and we still don't even know what the plot of this movie is. How incredible is that in this day and age that we still don't even know what the plot of this film is?
Yeah, exactly. We've just heard these little things. I've been catching up with the Shattered Empire comics and, kind of filling in a little bit of what's been going on. I'm not going to spoil anything because it's worth reading and all these things are really worth checking out, but I just cannot wait for this. I know Darren from Good Morning Yorkshire is as giddy as me as well, so I just can't wait for this movie. It will be ace. Let's have a little look at what's going on TV right now, because all the big American shows are kind of back at the moment. Walking Dead started this week. Felt it started very strong. The flashbacks that were in there were very, very good. Really enjoyed that. Arrow's back, The Flash is back, Gotham's back. I think Gotham's really started well. Arrow seems to start well, but my two favourites so far, even though I love those, have been Empire and I'm loving still Scandal.
Yeah, I actually really fell out with Scandal after a while. I felt that it got... I loved the early seasons of it, but I really started to lose a lot of favour about it. I think it mainly because I really didn't buy into the relationship between Liv and the president, and they were putting so much focus on that, and I felt he was such a boring character.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He was so dull, and I actually really fell out of love with the series. But I'm really, really into The Flash, and I didn't like the first season that much, but I think the second season is starting really strong. It's bringing in some very, very interesting ideas. We're starting to bring in the crisis on Infinite Earth. We're bringing in these crazy storylines here now. We've got Earth 2, we've got a new Flash that's come in. It's a really, really bold move for what is, very much primetime network TV. But I'm really liking it. And as you said, Gotham is starting to find its feet, because it really struggled in the early goings. But they've actually had a really, really fun bit of announcement for Gotham. Is they've just announced that, I can't remember his actual name, but Pee Wee Herman, the actor who plays Pee Wee Herman, is going to be coming to Gotham to play the Penguin's dad, which is a funny bit of casting because he played Penguin's dad in Tim Burton's Batman Returns, which I thought was a really, really nice nod.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
That's right, he did, yeah. I'm killing myself because I can't think what Pee Wee Herman's real name is.
I'm going to have to look now.
So I think that's a really, really nice callback to this original series. And they're doing that a lot with these DC TV things. We've had, the original Flash is playing Barry Allen's dad in this new series. They've just had Mark Hamill come back as the trickster for the Flash as well. So I think they're doing a lot of nice nodbacks to the DC TV and movie history. Actually, a lot of that with Supergirl. You've got Dean Cain in there. You've got the original Supergirl in there. There's a lot of great nods.
Totally forgot about Supergirl as well. I've actually seen the first episode, so really looking forward to the rest of that series. And of course, like you said, Dean Cain in there, Helen Slater as well, it's amazing. Paul Reubens is the man you're thinking of.
Paul Reubens, thank you so much. killing myself there.
In fact,
I was thinking, like, he was a hairdresser in Blow. I couldn't think what his name was.
In fact, when we talk about Gotham, I've got to give a shout to Cameron Monaghan, who's been absolutely incredible as Jerome stroke the proto Joker.
That's right, yeah. Very, very. And what a wicked, like, surprise as well. And again, credit to them, they very much kept that under wraps.
Yeah.
But there's all this talk about, like, oh, he's the young Jerome. And then, I mean, no, we're not going to give away any spoilers here. I don't think we're giving away spoilers. There was a really nice twist to his character that I really didn't see coming.
Me neither. I did not see that coming whatsoever.
Thought it was great. I thought it was really, really great.
And I'm going to have to get your opinion on this. This isn't spoiling anything, but it's one of the characters, in your opinion, because possibly in mine it is, I've seen the theory and I think it's right. Is that Ra's al Ghul?
Oh, I don't know. We have to see. It's so hard to kind of predict where things are going in Gotham because you've got this very bizarre, it's very much pre, it is all pre-Batman. So you've got to try and work out, like, okay, if that is going to be Ra's al Ghul, how old would Ra's al Ghul be in this time period and does that work? And it's a very, very odd mix of different elements within Gotham. It's one of the reasons why I quite like the show. I actually interviewed Sean Pertwee a couple of months back about the show, and he is an absolute, I think he's a terrific Alfred, an absolutely great, great Alfred, and he is really, really positive about the show, and he really sold me on the show when I was a bit skeptical about it, funnily enough.
Wow, that's pretty cool, that is, for him to do that. That's pretty amazing. I really, really like that. Sean Pertwee is ace, by the way. I think it's fantastic. There's some great performances in Gotham. I think the ones that got for the villains have really nailed it. Robin Lord Taylor as well as the Penguin. Absolutely fantastic. Perfect casting. So just need to start talking about what we've got on the streaming services at the moment. Netflix, you know what? Myself and Kat from who's on Good Morning Yorkshire's movie podcast, we've been talking about one series which we keep kind of forgetting about. I know Screamer series has been on there, and that I thought was very good, but Narcos is the one that everybody's talking about. Is this the one worth checking out on Netflix?
I've not seen it either, but I've also heard that it is really, really great. Some people at my girlfriend's office have been saying that we should definitely check it out. It's on our list. We've actually been working our way through the Scream TV series, funnily enough. And very much enjoying that. We've also been catching up on iZombie, which I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah.
I'm a bit late to the party on iZombie, but I am very much enjoying what I'm seeing so far. But yeah, I've heard tremendous things about Narcos, really, really, really tremendous things. I think that this Netflix original series, they really haven't had many duds so far. You know, House of Cards was absolutely brilliant. Orange of the New Black was absolutely fantastic. Narcos is brilliant. The Daredevil, the Marvel stuff. Jessica Jones looks great. I think there's some really, really great stuff coming from, like, Netflix original series. And with regards to Scream, I don't know how I quite feel about it yet. I'm about sort of 7 episodes in, and I'm still unsure how I feel about it, because it doesn't quite feel like it's a Scream TV series, if you see what I mean. Like, if you imagine what a Scream TV series would be, this doesn't feel like it. It feels like Scream in the sense that they're very referential to horror movies being turned into TV shows. But apart from that, it doesn't have that same dry wit and that kind of sort of meta atmosphere that the Wes Craven Scream trilogy, or quadrilogy, sorry, did.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know what you mean there. I did really enjoy it. It was very good, in my opinion, but I do get where you're coming from. Season 2's on the way. I know that. I know the knocking that together. So hopefully that will be a very, very interesting series, and hopefully it'll take a little bit more of that Wes Craven mythology and the way that he does things into that. Anything else you're spotting on the streaming service? I know we've got San Andreas just released on the home release. Is there anything you're spotting on Netflix or Amazon Prime that's worth checking out?
I've really, really good fun. If you love your disaster movies, if you love Rock the Dwayne Johnson, as we like to call him on the Flickr and Myth movie show, you are going to love it. It's really, really great fun. But I think my Netflix pick, if you're going to watch anything this weekend, is the movie What We Do in the Shadows, which is a comedy from the creators of Flight of the Conchords. And it is a faux documentary following a group of vampires around. And it is hilarious. It is stunningly, stunningly funny, and it really, really is well worth a watch. But yeah, if you want something big, bold, and blowing stuff up, San Andreas is definitely your man.
Yeah, I quite like this. I mean, basically, not spoiling it, but The Rock just ruins everybody else's chances of survival. But it's pretty cool. If you like stuff getting blown up or exploding, then go for it. Generic Netflix and chill. We're going to return next week. Luke, thank you very much for joining us. And check out flickeringmyth.com for more of what Luke does. And we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.